Chris Whittingham is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. He's a soccer broadcaster and analyst for Apple TV and CBS. Whitty's going to be on the call Sunday for New York City and Philadelphia Union, Inter Miami and Nashville tomorrow, match of the week. Number one versus number two, Inter Miami just 2 points behind Nashville in the standings. You can watch that game on Apple TV tomorrow. And before we talk actual game stuff, Whitty, there was this story, because we know Leo Messi's father had passed away. And then there was this story that started to spread on social media because of one of his Instagram posts where he talked about not knowing if he can continue to play that much longer. And Crowder and Solana and I had talked about it. You know, when a death happens in your family, Crowder and I have experienced losing a parent, like, you make decisions sometimes, or it's hard to see things progressing after you lose someone. So I'm wondering what you make of what Leo Messi had to say.
Well, it's not just that his father passed away. It was that his father played this incredibly influential role in his soccer career. This was when he was young, when he was 11 or 12 years old, he goes over to Barcelona to join their academy. And basically his dad makes a decision to, I'm going to stay with Leo. My wife and our other kids are going to go back to Argentina, and I'm going to live here with Leo without my wife and my other children, because I believe so much in this kid and what he can do in soccer. So this idea that their lives are so intertwined and football is such a big part of it. I mean, he talks about in his Instagram post this notion of wanting to talk to him after games, but it was very clear that his dad really didn't know what was going on with Argentina at the World Cup, and he wanted his dad to be there at the final and take it all in one last time, because it really felt like it was going to be the last time, but he couldn't make it. He wasn't healthy enough to make the trip over to the United States. So, I mean, this is someone whose life in football was incredibly intertwined with his father's. And so, yeah, it is kind of remarkable that on the day, it was on the Wednesday morning when he puts out this statement and says, I don't know how much longer I'm going to go. Everyone that I know who went to the stadium that night goes, wait a second, he's on the bench? And then, wait a second, he came on and played for 35 minutes despite going to and from Buenos Aires and got in the game anyway. So I don't know what it is in terms of the situation with the longer term, but it's very clear that his father made an incredible impact on his life. That said, though, I just don't know if he's ready to give this up, especially with him still being so good. I don't know if he's going to be someone who walks away until he feels like he's lost his best. He said that he's lost his physical best, but he's still amazing when he's in the game. So I don't know if that means that he's going to retire at the end of the season or retire anytime soon, but that's certainly how a lot of people took it. And then he went and played. So we're really completely unclear as to where he's at mentally.
How does Lionel Messi, like, hypothetically, because he was saying that, and McNean Hawk said, like, you're making these emotional decisions or these emotional texts and all that stuff, but how would his retirement affect international soccer, but more the MLS, because I think he's making the MLS right now?
Oh, I would say he's definitely the biggest attraction, and I don't think it's particularly close, and it would be incumbent upon the league to go find another really big attraction. But we've talked about this since day one, Crowder, when he signed. There's one of these guys. I guess there's two if you want to include Ronaldo. But I mean, in terms of people who can single-handedly drive interest, who single-handedly drive that narrative about the sport in this country, there are two people currently playing the game that could do that. One is Messi and the other is Ronaldo. And I just don't think there would be replacing him. It would be incumbent upon Miami to keep going, and they will. I don't think there's any doubt in my mind that Miami will take the field without some big star player from somewhere anytime in the near future. I don't think Miami going to pack up, all right, well, that was fun. We're going to go back to be a develop and sell team. No, they're going to keep going and keep going again in the transfer market to go and get big players.
But yeah,
I mean, that would take a lot. It would take a lot to go get him. But yeah, I mean, they're going to keep pushing. But yeah, I mean, it would be seismic. It would be seismic, especially when we just saw him play in the World Cup and play as well as he did. He was one of the top goal scorers of the tournament. He clearly has not lost enough of a step for it to materially impact who he is as a player. And yet it's possible he might go. Yeah, I mean, it would be a momentous occasion, especially when I think, were it not for this health issue, we'd be talking about, can he make the next Copa America? Could he even make the next World Cup, as crazy as that is to say? Because it's possible with how well he's playing.
Might have to wait about 15 years for Erling Haaland, Hawk.
I got nothing but time. It's dwindling, but I got nothing but time.
Hawk, I got 100. I got 100 on it.
I'd say you have something but time. Maybe not nothing but time. You have something but time.
I have something but time.
Witty, I'm looking at this game tomorrow, and it's fascinating because you Inter Miami loses Busquets, they lose Jordi Alba, and I know they've made additions, but they're 2 points out of being in the lead for the Supporter Shield race. Is A, that important to them, do you think, this year? I guess it is because they're in striking distance, but B, Nashville has seemingly always had Inter Miami's number, and especially in regular season play. And they have the best defensive unit in the MLS. Like, how tough is it for Inter Miami to go out against the best home team in the MLS and to beat a team who has conceded less than anybody? And I think 11 of their last 12, they're unbeaten.
Yeah, it's incredible what they've done. I mean, when you compare, they come into the league at the same time as Miami. They start better than Miami in those first few seasons. Then Miami signs Messi, they go flying beyond them. But Nashville have rebuilt incredibly well. So in terms of your question, how important is this? I would say it's fairly significant, both in terms of you're defining the rivalry for the rest of this season, which I think in all likelihood, you're heading towards a collision course of these two teams playing again in the playoffs at some point. They already played in the CONCACAF Champions Cup, which we all know was an incredibly important competition for Miami. They lose without even having lost to a Liga MX team. They lose to another MLS team, which was not supposed to happen. And so, yeah, I think this is now becoming the rivalry that defines, at the very least, the Eastern Conference, and not the whole of Major League Soccer, because Nashville have Hani Mukhtar, who's been amazing since day one. They have Sam Surge, who's been the best goal scorer in the league outside of Messi over the last year and a half. And they added Christian Espinosa, a really good free agent player down the right side, who all of a sudden they formed a triumvirate of players that can genuinely compete with Miami. And there aren't too many teams that can do that. So, yeah, I think this is going to be the rivalry that ends up defining this MLS season, even the CONCACAF competitions, because these are probably the two best teams in MLS over the course of the season.
Inter Miami, Nashville, match of the week tomorrow on Apple TV. And then Witty has the match, New York and Philadelphia Union. Did I see that at Yankee Stadium?
Yes.
Do they play all their games at Yankee Stadium?
They split between Yankee Stadium and Citi Field. They've been like, their whole thing is they play within the five boroughs of New York City. So they don't want to go outside to soccer stadiums in New Jersey. They are building their own stadium, which will be right next to Citi Field starting next summer.
The reason I ask is because Crowder had said, you know, if Messi retires one day, what does it mean to international soccer? But more importantly, what does it mean to MLS? Is the MLS killing it? I feel like every time I turn on a game on Apple TV, there's a ton of fans. I think the coverage is very good, obviously. I'm probably biased because you're part of it. But I really feel like they're killing it. And I wonder if that's the case.
I think the league is going in a very good direction. I think people want it to go faster. I think people want MLS to be on the level of the Premier League, if not now, within 5 years. That's such a difficult hurdle to climb. You have to get stadiums that are 60,000 seats. You have to drive revenue. I think the biggest challenge that MLS has in comparison to other soccer leagues in the world is the competition. You have such incredible competition for eyeballs and attention and media dollars in this country, the NFL taking the vast sum of it, that it's difficult for MLS to, realistically, the biggest thing that would propel them even further is media money. And it just isn't there. I mean, you know, the NFL makes $11 billion a year off television. The MLS is not there yet. So I think in person, 100%, with stadiums that are being built all over the country, I think 24 or 25 of the 30 teams in the league will have their own venue by the time Chicago finishes theirs in a couple of years' time. Infrastructure is honestly probably ahead of even the big European leagues in terms of new stadiums and new training grounds. And in terms of developing players, academies and all that stuff, MLS is absolutely taking big steps forward. But I think when you compare it to the absolute biggest leagues in the world, you're still waiting to take that next big step. And there's still some ways to go there.
All right, Chris Whittingham, he'll be on the call Sunday. Philadelphia Union and New York. You're going to get a slice of pizza while you're in New York?
Yes, yeah, Sparrow. On the street? Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Sparrow's.
Yeah. Oh, that's best New York pizza.
Man, listen, Ray's. Go to Ray's.
No. Ray's. Original Ray's.
Ray's. Man, okay. Ray's is so good. I'm a big industry guy. Have you guys heard of that?
We're talking about unbelievable slice of pizza.
It is genuinely the best slice of pizza that I've ever had in my life. Industry. There's two locations. Go and find them.
Sounds too clean. No. Ray's has like 55 locations on one block. That's where you got to go.
Yeah. No, but you don't want a place that has 55 locations.
Oh,
that implies sort of a chainness to it.
It's, you think like, you think it's watered down their pizza?
Yeah.
It's
like, well, and also, I mean, pizza. I'm very close to New Haven style pizza, which obviously some people would argue is superior. I might even join them.
New Haven, that's Jersey.
No, it's Connecticut.
Connecticut, bro.
Oh, Connecticut pizza. That's never been a phrase.
It's actually one of the great things when you drive from New York into Connecticut, you cross the border and there's a sign that says, "Welcome to Connecticut, the pizza capital of the United States." It's elite trolling towards New Yorkers that are crossing the line.
A little cutesy towards Chicago, to be quite honest. Not even a border state. All right, Chris Whittingham will be on the call Sunday on Apple TV, Inter Miami and Nashville tomorrow on Apple TV. Your game Sunday, is that correct?
Sunday,
am I getting that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sunday on Apple TV, Inter Miami, Nashville tomorrow on Apple TV. Thank you, Witty.
Cheers, guys.
There you go. I love a guy who gets off, says cheers. Cheers, guys. Sounds so international.
I don't know about the cheers.
Cheers. I like that. Nobody would call New Haven style pizza Connecticut pizza because that wouldn't go anywhere. But if you call it New Haven style, then it sounds like it's got some. The New Haven style is like the real burnt on the bottom. It's thin. It happens to be good pizza. I prefer Chicago pizza over all of them.
Well, burnt on the bottom.
Yeah, it's like charred on the bottom. You ever had Anthony's Cold Fired?
Yeah, yeah.
That's New Haven style.
I hate it.
Paul Castronovo and Dan Marino have some words for you.
Yeah. I go, man, my son and daughter love Anthony's Cold Fired pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get a salad.
That's
no olives.
New Haven style pizza.